This is an account of a trip down the Mississippi River, beginning at the Ohio River, by one John Pope, who was a Virginian who fought in the Revolutionary War and then explored the West a little bit. So Pope says, March 4th, 1791. Proceeded down the Ohio in company with a Frenchman who was taking his American wife and children along with him to Longue La Grace, or the Greasy Bent, now called by the Spaniards Nuevo Madrid, on the western side of the Mississippi. March 12th, 1791, breakfasted and dined with Señor Pedro Foucher, commandant at Nuevo Madrid. The garrison consists of about 90 men who are well supplied with food and raiment. They have an excellent train of artillery, which appears to be their chief defense. Two regular companies of musketeers with charged bayonets might take this place. Of this opinion is the commandant himself, who complains that he is not sufficiently supported. On the evening of this day, embarked on a boat called the Smokehouse, bound to New Orleans, and anchored on the Georgian shore about 30 miles below Madrid. 14th. 8 o'clock at night, one of Mr. Craig's tobacco boats, with 40 hogsheads of tobacco and a large quantity of flour and plank, passed us while we lay in harbor. She had lost her rudder and sprung a leak. In this situation, with only three hands on board, they implored our aid, which, through prudential motives, was denied. 15th. At sunrise, espied the Frenchman's boat in good harbor and uninjured. But different was the fate of Mr. Craig's, which had sprung a leak in her bow and appeared to be stranded opposite to the second Chickasaw Bluff, where the river is about 400 yards wide. At 9 o'clock, we viewed the third Chickasaw Bluff, opposite to the Bayou St. John, where the river is not quite 400 yards wide. Here the Chickasaws once had a small pottery. Upon this bluff is the most eligible situation for a town which I have as yet seen on the banks of the Mississippi. From the lower end of this bluff, the river suddenly opens to an amazing width of 4, 5, and 6 miles. Upon examination, I find our crew consist of one Irishman, one Ansbacher, one Kentuckian, one person born on sea, one Virginian, and one Welshman. 6 total. At 12 o'clock came on a violent storm, which with difficulty we evaded by exerting every nerve to gain the shore. March 17th, 1791. The Irishman, in honor of St. Patrick, purloined all our brandy, sugar, and eggs to make a tub of eggnog, of which he drank so copiously that whilst at the helm, he insensibly ran the vessel into a strong eddy, to get her out of which employed all hands in hard labor for the balance of the day. March 18th. At sunrise came on a slight snow, which formed a curious contrast to the verdure of the trees. All the afternoon of this day, we run due north. 19th. At 8 o'clock, we run due south. All this day, the weather was intensely cold, the wind blowing from north. At 1 o'clock, we were hailed by a Pennsylvanian and a lad in a Perroque, laden with bear and buffalo meat, taken on the St. Francis River and bound up the Ozark, or Osage, River, where there is a settlement of 30 families about 30 miles from its mouth. At 3 o'clock, overtaken by two boats laden with flour and tobacco. 20th. At sunrise, drew up a kitten, that is a catfish, of about 20 pounds weight, which, with the help of God and an Irish cook, we made into most excellent broth. At 9 o'clock, came up with two large Pittsburgh boats at anchor laden with flour on the shore, opposite to which was a concourse of Ozark Indians. 21st. At 8 o'clock, descried a keel-bottomed boat with a square sail bound to New Madrid. Her progress under fair wind was at the rate of 2.5 miles per hour, which might have been accelerated by the addition of oars. At sunset, three of Mr. Craig's tobacco boats came up with us whilst we lay in harbor. 22nd. At sunrise, espied a vessel of General Wilkinson under the command of Captain Swain, bound to New Orleans. At 8 o'clock, we had in view 6 sail of the line. 24th, at break of day, espied the Walnut Hills, about 10 miles below the Yazus, or Yazoo River, which His Catholic Majesty limits as his boundary, and below which his vice-regents say the citizens of the United States shall not inhabit unless they throw themselves under the laws, banners, and protection of the King of Spain. 24th. At sunrise, we shot the Grand Gulf, opposite to which, on either side, the cane grows to the enormous height of 40 and sometimes 45 feet. At 9 o'clock, past the Bayou Pierre, on the banks of which are small houses and about 30 acres of ground under cultivation. About 10 miles higher up the country, it is pretty thickly inhabited by Virginians, Carolinians, Georgians, and some few stragglers from the eastern states. 26th. At sunrise, came in sight of the town of Natchez, situated on the eastern bank of the river. It contains about 100 houses and is the metropolis of the district and residence of Don Galloso, the governor. In this town and its vicinity, we continued about a week. 27th. On Sunday, I took a view of the governor's palace, as also of the fort, which, from its elevated situation, has a fine command of the river, for about a mile up and double that distance down it. Though I think it might be assailed with success by a single regiment, or taken by surprise with a less number. They have a good train of artillery, though very injudiciously arranged, the back part of the fort being pregnable to a dozen men. 28th. Paid a visit to Don Granfrey, commandant of the regular forces throughout the Natchez district. He lives about 2 miles from town. Here I was regaled with different kinds of fruits, wines, and Parmesan cheese, which were succeeding to, that means after, a very good substantial dinner. 29th. At Natchez, I observed an advertisement relating to a stray horse, for the setting up of which the owner was obliged to get the previous sanction of a magistrate. An inhabitant under the jurisdiction of Spain may be said to be homo sine spe, sine sede, sine re. That is, a man without credit, without hope, without anything. The soil of this district is better adapted to the growing of corn, rice, and indigo than of tobacco, the cultivation of which is gradually falling into disuse. As an admittance of it into the king's store is now positively refused from some political motives which the governor thinks himself under no obligation to communicate, though the present crop was raised under a confidence reposed in his promise to receive and allow $8 per hundred for it. 30th. At 10 o'clock, discovered the wreck of one of Mr. Craig's tobacco boats, which he had directed to be got underway. Into this boat, exclusive of tobacco, he had stowed a considerable quantity of bacon, butter, flour, and plank. He lost almost the whole. 31st. At 3 o'clock, hailed by a row galley from New Orleans bound to New Madrid. At 4 o'clock, espied the Long Reach, where the eye may take in an uninterrupted water prospect of 23 miles. At our entrance into the Long Reach, we viewed the Red River, about a quarter of a mile wide, on the western side of the Mississippi, and 3 miles below it, the Bayou Chapelier, which, taking its leave of this river, disembogues its gentle stream into the Gulf of Mexico, several leagues from the mouths of the Mississippi. April 2nd. Hailed by 2 paroques, one bound to Natchez, the other to Bayou Pierre. For 2 days past, we have been much harassed by mosquitoes. The poor Indians, who go almost naked, construct an elevated bed of reeds, which they fumigate so as to banish insects of every description from their lodgments. Slight, whitewashed, airy buildings become more common on the eastern side of the river and are, in general, occupied by people from the United States. Here are the most delightful prospects that ever caught my view. Third, at 10 o'clock, viewed Point Coupe, a village 21 miles in length, though narrow, consisting of inferior buildings, interspersed now and then with a dwelling, houses, and chapels of tolerable elegance, at 4 o'clock saw 8 country seats on the eastern bank and, at the lower end, some high bluffs, a large building of extraordinary workmanship, and a dockyard about half a mile below it. At 6 o'clock, viewed the Alexandrian Bluffs, from which on both sides of the river there's a continuation of beauteous farms and elegant buildings for the distance of 61 miles. The general width of the river all this day is about 3/4 of a mile, or rather less. Fourth, about noon, espied the suburbs of New Orleans, and at 2 o'clock came abreast of the city on the eastern side of the river, in an island formed by the Mississippi and the Bayou St. John. So this was John Pope's account of his about month-long journey from the Ohio River down to New Orleans at the bottom of the Mississippi.